Ken Burns is best known for his sprawling epic documentaries covering the Civil War, World War II, the history of baseball, and jazz. In his latest film, The Address, airing tomorrow evening on SDPB-TV, Burns goes to a Vermont school for teenage boys with learning disabilities and follows them as they memorize and publicly recite Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. In its exploration of the Greenwood School, the film also explores the history, context, and importance of President Lincoln's short but powerful address. I spoke with Ken Burns earlier this morning. Ken Burns, thanks so much for joining us on Dakota Midday.
My pleasure.
Well, this film is different from the documentaries you're best known for. What led you to make The Address?
You know, it is different. I've been making historical documentaries using old photographs and footage for, 35, 40 years. I live in rural New Hampshire, across the river in Vermont, a tiny town of Putney. There's an even tinier school called the Greenwood School for dyslexic boys, boys with lots of different kinds of learning differences. And each year they're asked to memorize, and then most important, publicly recite the Gettysburg Address in front of several hundred people. It's a daunting task for any of us to memorize something, even more daunting to do a public recitation. But for these boys, it's a minefield of terrors and doubts and anxieties. And yet they do it. And it was one of the most inspirational things I'd ever seen 10 years ago. And I wept like a baby and vowed to make a film about it. So once Lincoln's 150th anniversary came last November, we're releasing this film, The Address, on PBS on tomorrow, Tuesday the 15th, at 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 Central. That is the hour-and-a-half story of these boys heroically learning the Gettysburg Address. It's an unbelievably inspirational story, and I'm happy at age 60 to sort of be out of my comfort zone, out of my wheelhouse, and into different ways of telling stories. And I think your viewers will find it, listeners will find it so interesting and so positive, particularly today when we're so disconnected from one another.
Tell us a little bit about these young boys. They're dealing with learning disabilities, and they come from some troubled backgrounds in some cases?
Well, they mostly they come from all over the world, and the Greenwood School is a place of last resort for them. They've been bullied and marginalized at other schools. They've got some emotional issues sometimes that they're dealing with, but they've got a host of learning-based, language-based disabilities, dyslexia, dysgraphia, ADHD, executive function, a whole alphabet soup of stuff. And so the Gettysburg Address is a super hard challenge for them. And as we were editing the 300-plus hours of footage we assembled, we said, my goodness, we should challenge the whole country to do this. And so if you go to learntheaddress.org, you'll see all the living presidents reading the address, dozens of celebrities, but more important, thousands of our fellow citizens who have memorized their memorizations to learntheaddress.org. They've had their kids or their grandkids, or they've filmed their schools. There's 90-year-old ladies. There's a father and daughter who memorized it and then went to Gettysburg and filmed it among the rocks at Little Round Top. There's schools in Alabama and Utah and Hawaii who are participating. We have thousands of people, and now with the address being broadcast, we hope to have millions of people who will take it upon themselves to learn the address. You'll curse me for a couple of days as it's taped to your mirror in the morning, but when you do it, you will thank me for the rest of your life for internalizing it. And let's just think about what the Gettysburg Address is. I believe it's the most important speech ever given in the American English language. It's Lincoln doubling down on the Declaration of Independence. You know, Thomas Jefferson, 87 years ago, said all men are created equal. But oops, he owned other human beings and didn't see the hypocrisy, didn't see the contradiction, and most importantly, never saw fit in his lifetime to free any of those slaves. Well, Abraham Lincoln freed those slaves, and he was coming back to double down on the Declaration and say, look, we really do believe that all men are created equal, but we have to go forward. So he's sort of offering a new operating system, a kind of 2.0 of Jefferson's 1.0 declaration. And it's the operating system we're still working under today. I mean, when the first anniversary of 9/11 happened, there were very few speeches, none of them contemporary. What was read was Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, as if the words were medicine. And that's what this film is about. Lincoln talks about in the speech a new birth of freedom. His first sentence is about the past, 67 years ago. The second sentence is about the present. Now we are engaged in a great civil war. But the rest is Lincoln pulling us into an uncertain future. And that has been those have been the words that we have trusted to get us through good times and hard times ever since. And I like the idea of the challenge, especially when we live in a country that's so losing its way to have a civil discourse among itself. Everybody's either red state or blue state, black or white, young or old, rich or poor, male or female, north or south, east or west. We forget to select for the things that we hold in common. The late historian Arthur Schlesinger Jr. said, we suffer today from too much pluribus and not enough unum. And my films have been about unum for the last 35, 40 years. This film is about unum, and of course, Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address is. And if we were all to internalize it, it might just make us a little bit better. History's a table around which we can still have a civil conversation.
Well, Ken Burns, what does the Gettysburg Address mean in particular for these young boys at the Greenwood School? How do they internalize what Lincoln said?
Well, you know, it's a marvelous thing. The boys come back from Thanksgiving vacation, and as they've done for 35 years at this school, and these are young kids, you know, 11 to 17, and it's a place of last resort, as I've said, and they've been given this Gettysburg Challenge. And the Gettysburg Address, essentially for the next two and a half months, takes over a great deal of the academic activity at the school. It's in their speech pathology classes, it's in their remedial classes, it's in their history classes, it's in their English classes, it's in their grammar classes. It's an amazing thing that crosses so many platforms that they fully imbibe it, and they learn not just rote memorization, which has disappeared from our school. Some supposedly smart person thought that was bad. In fact, memorization uses a part of our brain that we don't use anymore. It's hugely important to keep that part of our brain active. And we as students, we as citizens should have lots of speeches and poems and anthems and other things on our hard drive, so to speak. These boys put it on their hard drive, and it's transformative. And because the speech has such centrality in American history, how could it not? And they will carry it around for the rest of their lives. 3 months after they had their gala presentation, we hooked up with them again, and I pulled each boy aside, and they all still had, having not dealt with it in their classrooms for 3 months, they all still had the Gettysburg Address permanently apart with a challenge that had made them feel so good that they'd had experienced a new birth of freedom. It's just a wonderfully inspirational and uplifting story, I believe.
You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. We're talking with Ken Burns. His new film is The Address, and it airs tomorrow evening on SDPB-TV. Ken Burns, talking about the aspect of memorization in our schools, why do you think this is something that seems like so many schools don't do anymore?
It's part of the whole crisis, and in fact, I would suggest it may be at the center of the crisis of our educational system. Let me just go back and tell you that my dad, who was born in 1925, had about 6 hours on his hard drive. Now, granted, that may be a lot more than the normal. He was a pretty smart guy, but he'd have huge passages of Shakespeare, long poems like Edgar Allan Poe's The Raven, and lots of different speeches. He just knew a lot of things that he had committed to memory in school and out. I've got maybe a third of that, and our kids aren't taught anything. Somewhere somebody said we don't need to memorize anymore, and we didn't. And now we find our education system in disarray. We don't have enough STEM, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. Well, let's put that in. Well, we found we threw the baby out with the bathwater, that we lost humanities and history and art and music and other things. Well, let's try to fit it back in. No one noticed that the fundamental thing, the glue that would itself hold our educational system together, is a very simple word that sounds like homework called civics. It's how politics works, but it's also how everything works. It's the glue that can hold all these disparate things together. And at the heart of it is an appreciation, indeed a love, for our American system. and a respect for it. And the one way you respect it is to learn about it. If you're an ignorant person, how can you vote with any intelligence? If you don't know how many senators there are or who your senators are or what, how many branches of government, all, everybody has cringed at Jay Leno's jaywalking as he stuns us with how uninformed most Americans are about just the basic aspects of their government. Who's the vice president? Who's the secretary of defense? Nothing. That if we know this stuff, if we memorize the Gettysburg Address, we're armed in a hugely important way. You can't possibly know where you are if you don't know where you've been. And if you know where you've been, you'll not only know where you are, you'll know where you're going. And particularly in tough times, it's those people who have a broad awareness of the past, those people who have internalized the glories of the greatest country on earth, that will have a future.
Ken Burns, have you memorized the Gettysburg Address?
I have, indeed. And it's hard, and it's really hard to do it in public. But it's nothing like the effort that these boys have to make. And so as we were sitting in the editing room watching them, we're thinking, boy, if they can do it, we can do it. And everybody who worked on this film has memorized the Gettysburg Address. It doesn't take that long. Those with language-based problems can't do what we can do, which is take the interstate highway to get from point A to point B. They have to take a long, circuitous route through the countryside. But they get there. They're no less smart than we are. And in fact, I learned working on this project that a disproportionate number of Fortune 500 CEOs are dyslexic, which means they found novel strategies to overcome just their learning difference, not their disability, but their learning difference. And those strategies were themselves novel enough that made them leaders in a way that you and I aren't in their fields. That, to me, you know, we like to celebrate individual liberty in the United States, but we tend to marginalize and push off to the side people who are different. These kids have been so severely bullied in some cases that it's just a tragedy. And the Greenwood is the last place that sort of takes them in from all over the world, by the way, young boys. And there they are, meeting this challenge and escaping, having their own new birth of freedom. That I find it, as I said before, inspirational in the extreme.
What was the response from the kids of Greenwood in having you and the film crew follow them around in the making of this film, The Address?
Yeah, that's a really great question. You know, the Heisenberg principle suggests that anything that's the act of observation alters the thing that it is observing, and that's true. And we didn't want to in any way suggest that we weren't there, and so we put in references to us that the kids would make or when they came right up to the camera to tell us something. But if you're there every day for 3 months, embedded with them, you slowly disappear. You become that fly on the wall, and you watch the struggles without artifice. You watch the tears. You watch the love between the boys, the helping one another. Some kid is good at this but not good at that, but he can help his friend who's good at this. And you watch that happen. You see the loving attention of the teachers. And we basically disappeared. And they were wonderful. And you'll see there's great drama in the film, great suspense in the film as they struggle to memorize this important speech.
It's a nice touch that you have the kids themselves narrating parts of the film.
Well, it's interesting. I wanted to put the story of the boys in the context of the United States, the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln, and his delivery of the Gettysburg Address. So periodically, and at the beginning of the film, we have old photographs that will look like a Ken Burns film and music that will sound like it's coming from a Ken Burns film on the Civil War and printed paragraphs of narration. And all of a sudden, I realized, you know what? We could get the boys to read this because there might be folks who have learning issues, reading issues, and you can hear almost from the get-go that they're not doing a perfect reading, that they've got a lisp or they're struggling over words, and that makes you sit up and pay attention and know this is not going to be a traditional history film of the kind we've done before, say on the Civil War, but this is something else. And they bring you along. I think they hold your hand through the context of the United States, of the Civil War, of the Battle of Gettysburg, and of Lincoln's superb speech.
Well, Ken Burns, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us on Dakota Midday, and congratulations on another fine film.
Thank you. I'm so pleased to be there. I hope all Dakotans within the sound of my voice will watch and also will accept my challenge to learn the Gettysburg Address themselves, memorize it, and then upload it, their rendition, at learntheaddress.org.
That's filmmaker Ken Burns. I spoke with him earlier this morning. His latest documentary, The Address, airs tomorrow evening at 8 Central, 7 Mountain on SDPV-TV. In the film, Burns goes to a school for teenage boys with learning disabilities and follows them as they memorize and publicly recite Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. And as you just heard, in conjunction with the film, Burns and PBS are challenging everyone across the country to create a video of themselves reading or reciting the Gettysburg Address. For more information and to see some South Dakota students reciting the address, you can visit learntheaddress.org.